Is there a mom on the planet that doesn't struggle with what to feed their kids? Catherine McCord of Weedlicious shares some magical solutions that will change your life on this week's Band of Mothers podcast.
This is the Band of Mothers podcast. Band of Mothers.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, breeders.
Hello, breeders.
We love you.
We love you. Welcome back to Band of Mothers podcast.
We have the most exciting news.
Yes.
I know you're just so booked up with things, so this might be a problem. However, you need to block out Saturday, May 8th.
Also known as
Mother's Day Eve.
Mother's Day Eve.
You guys, we are dusting off the cobwebs, and Shay and I are going live on stage to do a full Pump and Up show at the Bluebird Theater here in Denver, and everyone can watch it.
Yep, live stream, y'all.
Live stream. Tickets are $19. It's going to be so fun. We have so many fun, like, surprises and prizes in store for you. But most of all, we get to celebrate Mother's Day Eve, which is the actual Mother's Day.
And it's our 9th annual. We started, we never even thought about Mother's Day when we started the show because we just started the show in like October and then of 2012. So then in 2013, we were like, well, we got to do something epic for Mother's Day. And we did.
Yeah.
Mother's Day Eve. And it became a yearly Denver tradition until the pandemic.
I know. It did. And it's one of our favorite nights of the year. We always make it very special. Last year, we were supposed to have our New York our LA cast and our Chicago cast performing as well. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. But this year, we can do an entire show for you. If you're new here and you've never seen a Pump and Up show, you're in for a real treat. And you know, grab your breeder bubble, gather with some friends. Things are opening up. Get the good champagne. Put on some makeup if you feel like it. Make yourself a little party. But the point of Mother's Day Eve is that we get to celebrate together. And someone else can get up with the kids on Mother's Day. That's the whole point.
Yeah. And Mother's Day is not going to really be about you anyway. So go ahead and just ask for this the night before and then it's all yours.
Literally a cheap ticket. We did a Zoom show last year, which was so fun. But one of my favorite parts of that was all the photos of moms like with their setup, with their laptop and their breeder koozies and their wine, and husbands were like bringing them wine and pouring it while they watched the show. Some people were watching it in the bathtub. It was so fun. So get creative. Again, $19 tickets. All of our information is going to be available everywhere. Look on Instagram, join our mailing list, look on bandofmothers.com. They can't sell out because it's virtual. And imagine you can celebrate with your best friend across the country. You guys can all, we can all gather together in one place. And I say we just get our joy back together and we're really excited.
Yeah. Mother's Day Eve, ninth annual, which is nuts to think that it's been 9 years.
I just have so many more wrinkles now. But that's okay.
I thought you were going to say I have so many opinions about that.
No, I do have a lot of opinions about it. It went so fast. But this episode is so fun. It's all about food, feeding your family, feeding your kids, dealing with picky kids with the amazing Catherine McCord of Weedlicious. We love her. But because it's about food and the frustration we all feel as mothers feeding our families, we thought we would start off with one of the Pump and Dump show's most famous, maybe even infamous songs. So do not listen to this with the children in the room. It's got a very colorful use of one of our favorite words, but we hope you enjoy it.
I was dressed, which is rare. I've got spit up sweet potato in my hair. You've made a mess that you obviously can't clean because you're a baby. What I'm about to say sounds mean. But eat your fucking food. Go ahead and swallow what I made you. This ain't no fucking jar. I steam pureed and froze the shit I gave you. Eat your fucking food. Apparently it's my job to make you eat your fucking food. Eat your fucking food. Eat your fucking food. I'm trying to be nice, but stand my ground. I'm making funny faces, playing videos on YouTube, making choo-choo train sounds. But it's been an hour, and I never get to shower. And now your sister's running around naked, screaming about my train sounds. Eat your fucking food. If I was your Grammy, you would eat it all. But one day you'll understand. She's not the one who squeezed you out of her hole. Eat your fucking food before I decide to leave you at the mall. Eat your fucking food. Eat your fucking food. Eat your fucking food. Eat your fucking food. Break it down. It's yummy, yummy, yummy in your tummy. Stop sticking your hand in there and scraping it out. I swear I'll put your little a-hole butt to bed right now and make you cry it out. Okay, I'm not gonna make you cry it out. I'm sorry to torment you, but you're acting like I'm feeding you your own placenta, and I'm not. And oh my God, your sister just shit on the rug. Eat your fucking food. And it's gonna end right here. Eat your fucking food. So I can pour myself a beer. Eat your fucking food. I feel like mother of the year. Eat your fucking food. Eat your fucking food. Eat your fucking food. Eat your fucking food. Eat your fucking food.
It's a good one.
Yeah. How many times, if you had a nickel for every time you've had to watch me do that song, how many nickels would you have?
A lot.
You could have bought a lot of Doge.
Yes. Yeah, so you guys, so excited to be able to speak with one of my original girl crushes, Catherine McCord. That seems weird to say because she's just like a mom telling us how to feed our families.
Well, she literally changed like everything for us.
Yeah.
Moms.
I mean, she taught me how to pack a school lunch.
Which is huge.
I mean, I didn't realize that I didn't know how to pack a school lunch until she showed me how to do it the right way and make it easy. And it's been great ever since. I don't love to do it, but her approach to feeding her families is, her family and families in general is just, it's great. And I think that there's always a hesitancy, like a, you want to be jealous or not really like an influencer who seems like they always have it together and that it just makes everything look so easy online, but she's just kind of the real deal. She's just dialed into something, you know, God gave her the ability to, you know, yeah, make it easy to feed kids.
And healthy. Not only does she have a book about smoothies, which we will have in Shop the Podcast on, yes, Bomb Market, but she also is full of tips and tricks in this interview that I found, and I know you found, so incredibly helpful, yeah, that you will all love.
Yeah. So without further ado, enjoy our interview. It is so exciting to have the Catherine McCord on, Weelicious herself, on Band of Mothers podcast. Catherine, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so happy to be here. This is a ton of fun.
We haven't even gotten started yet.
I mean, I know, but I'm already into it. I mean, your energy is infectious.
Oh, thank you. Well, speaking of energy, so is yours. I mean, yeah, I have followed you since my daughter was born 10 years ago. You are the reason I made salmon cakes. You're the reason I bought a Planet Box lunchbox when she went to preschool. I mean, you have such a unique way of approaching food and feeding your family. And as a mom of three, I feel like, you know, all of us, we always like, well, what does Weelicious say? You know, you've been,
and
such,
you were
a
like
guide.
The first, you were like a groundbreaker in the world of social media slash, you know, like
like giving this kind of information to people. I mean, I would like to say you were the first.
I get to be the pioneer. It was really early on. I mean, but like early on stories are like when I first like launched WeLicious, and I was so excited, and I would take these little pictures with my little Nikon camera, and someone wrote me back and she was like, they kind of look like vomit, to be a couple like little baby food pictures. I was like, maybe it's time to up my game.
Yeah, well, it's not easy to take food pictures in any circumstance. No. But yeah, anything pureed is never. I remember I tried to take a smoothie not picture pretty. Once, and it took like I just gave up. There's no way. It doesn't. It's not
wasn't
cute.
Wasn't pretty.
No. So share with us a little background about why you decided. I mean, you graduated from the Culinary Institute. You obviously have a background in food and lots of knowledge. Why family? Why kids?
And well, I went to culinary school. I mean, I've been obsessed since I was 9 years old with, I got Bon Appetit and Gourmet, and I'm from Kentucky, and my grandparents were very into picking their own food and growing their own food. And I would sit there like freezing blueberries and stringing sugar snap peas. And I ended up traveling for many years around the world in my first job. And with that, I became like just fascinated with why in certain countries, like when I lived in Mexico, there were like kids eating spice, and in France, they're eating just like these really wine. Rich, gorgeous, you know, when you're boozing at 11, you're ahead of the game.
Yeah. No, you're international.
Exactly. And then I'd get back to, you know, the United States, and it was like mac and cheese and, you know, goldfish, and like, let your kids have what they want all the time. And so after I went to culinary school, I had my first son, and I realized I could cook a gourmet meal, and I had no idea what to feed him. So I started this journey. I've always gone to the farmer's market since I was 17, living in New York, and everything for me has always been about like real food, fresh food, seasonal food. So I started doing that with him and creating these like homemade baby food purees, and just like learning how to make him a great eater from day one. And that's sort of what happened with WeLicious, just as from baby food to toddler food to the idea that like I had now two children, and I was like, I am not going to be a short order cook. Like, how do you like one family, one meal? How do you pull that off?
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you pull that off? Because I am a short order cook, and it sucks.
It's hard. I mean, I think that because look, at the end of the day, even though they're your children or child, you know, we all eat different. We enjoy different foods. I mean, look, my son became a vegetarian when he was 5 years old, and he's 14, and he is still like hardcore vegetarian. My daughters and I, we could eat like a side of beef. So, you know, and some people are more picky or have textural issues. So like some of the, you know, one of the things that I always say to do is like get everyone in your family to write down their 10 favorite foods or 10 foods they will eat, and put it on your phone, put it on a whiteboard, and make sure you always have those in the house, and cross it, like look across, and you'll start to see that there's more connection than you think. And by the way, when I say 10 foods, that does not include Oreos, ice cream, right. You know what I mean? Like yeah. 10, like a few fruits, a few vegetables, like maybe it's like eggs, bread, quesadillas, you know, carrots, like who knows what it'll be. But I find that when I do that, it's so much easier to kind of mix and match these different foods. So you can, you know, that everyone enjoys them.
So I think the other big question, and you know, this is something we run across just in our own sort of band of mothers, is it sounds great to cook fresh and it sounds great to have the meal, you know, but like actually executing it on a daily basis seems it's really hard. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard for almost any mom. It's hard to cook every night, even if it's just for you and your partner, let alone for children and adding on a busy day. So how do you tackle that? And how do you convince moms in all of our busy lives that it's actually possible?
Well, I'm going to actually make it worse, because when I finally realized it's 21 meals plus snacks 365 days a year. Like, moms deserve a major applause because it never ends. Like, as soon as breakfast is over, you're like, and it's lunch. And like, oh my God, I have to start thinking about dinner. Yeah. So, I mean, even for me, like, I had never really menu planned until COVID hit and like the pandemic, and like, I had to think ahead.
Yeah.
And I found, like, I think menu planning can help a lot of people if they're more organized. And even for the people that are, you know, moms who are more like not, and keeping those foods that they like, those two, three, you know, basics that they know, like, what are the three things you make that like your family loves no matter what? And maybe you're freezing ahead. Maybe you're buying a rotisserie chicken and turning it into two things. There is no shame in the breakfast for dinner game. You like you eggs and pancake it up for dinner. Fine. Totally. Mm-hmm. And then also like for our family, we do cook 6 nights a week and then we order in 1 night a week, supporting your local restaurant. I mean, I have an organic family friendly food company, One Potato. So yeah. We get one potato 3 nights a week. And that way, at least I'm not menu planning. And yet it's a very DIY. I think that's another like trick is if you keep everything sort of separate, then you'll find that you like if you have a picky family or if you know, just more selective, everyone can kind of make their own bowl or, you know, like we always like rice, vegetables,
yeah.
Chicken, tofu, mm-hmm. and like, make batch cook on Sundays. Like that's a huge strategy for me. Just
what
so
does that
like,
mean? Say that again.
So I batch cook. So on Sundays, I roast a ton of vegetables. I either grill or roast some chicken. I steam brown rice or I make pasta. Sometimes I'll make homemade pesto or buy some pesto, whatever. And then you can like make brown rice cakes, recipe on Wealicious. It's just brown rice, eggs, mozzarella cheese. And you just make them into cakes and pan sear them. Oh my God. They're like, my kids will eat those all day long. Like, think simple. Don't, I think people think like, I need to make a big casserole or, you know, like chopping a ton. Like, keep it simple, especially for younger kids, like that are like, I don't want too much jazz in my food. Like, keep it simple.
Yeah, I will say we do a lot of bowls at my house, and that was like an mm-hmm. influence from you. And it is, and giving kids the choice to choose. I mean, my daughter's favorite meals are when she can make her own bowl and you know that whatever she picks is going to be fine, but she's kind of in control of it. And it's amazing how that little thing gives them so much more autonomy over their meal, and they just feel like they own it, you know?
Yeah, well, the two choice method is like one of the best tips for parents, and you really use it for food, but it can go across everything with your children. So I'm going to give you two choices. You can have an apple or a cucumber. You know, you can have salmon or chicken. So you're giving them choice, because for kids, like we tell them what to wear, where to go to school, sometimes who their friends are going to be. So when it comes to food, they can just give you that invisible middle finger where they're like, I don't want it. I'm not going to eat it. Because, mm-hmm. you know, food is this like never ending battle. So that's, you know, making sure that kids, that you're actually in charge because you have those two choices, but you're saying, I'm going to give you some choice. And they're like, oh, I get choice? Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. So always keeping, you know, that, by the way, that works with clothes too. You know, you want these pants or these pants, you know, right. You want this book or this book, because then they at least feel like they have, you know, and I would say that for my kids, that works. Like, it's like my
your go-to. Who do you like better?
They haven't caught on yet.
Who do you like better, mom or dad?
That exactly. Mom or dad?
Yeah, or dad. That's so interesting, and it actually makes a ton of sense in like the psychology, you know, of kids being able to have that autonomy and also make it easier on yourself. I mean, I can't tell you how dumb I feel every time I'm like, "What do you want for breakfast?" Like the dumbest question to ask them
ever. But yeah, hey, we're all guilty of it. I mean, yeah. You know, no, and then I'll stop myself. Be like, oh, no. I know. Okay, do you want a smoothie or avocado toast?
Which yeah. yeah. Yeah.
But it's always, yeah. you're never going to present them with two things that you're like, escargot or Bellinis with caviar.
Right, yeah. Right.
It's just always going to be like pancakes or waffles.
Right. Yeah, you're basically making the same thing. What's exactly. What's your philosophy then on snacks? And you brought up like, you know, mac and cheese, and kids can eat whatever they want in America. How, you know, it's such a fine line because, especially from where we sit, you know, part of our mission is like, look, mom, you got to do what you got to do. And, you know, do you think that any food is good food? Do you think we need to rein it in the snack department and really be more intentional? I don't know. Like, is there long-term damage happening or are kids going to be okay?
I personally think kids are going to be okay. I mean, I think that if you are an intentionally loving parent and you have like some sort of nutrition in mind, you know, you're never going to win every day. And whenever, you know, parents will message me and be like, oh my God, Timmy hasn't had a vegetable all day long. I'm like, you're all good. Like Timmy's going to batch those vegetables like when he's ready. Mm. So you have to look at eating as like a total week. And there's those, look, Saturday birthday days are just a loss. It is just cut your losses ahead of time and just be like, we're going to really
sugar consume. For everyone.
Woo, let's do it. You know, and maybe because I will say like bring a cucumber, bring something, you know, in between, you know, in the car or whatever, because they're going to want it. That kids actually like, I rarely see a kid that's just like, I want more sugar, more sugar. Like there's going to be a breaking point where they don't want it. But don't beat yourself up. We are the best role models. So I always think that it is important, like at every meal to have, or at least lunch and dinner, to have a vegetable as much as possible and make it simple and try not to put too much pressure on it. Because, you know, I think that the one thing that also that parents forget is that like your 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old, their digestive system is, they're always trying to figure it out. And like without fail, you know, a kid will like, I don't want dinner. I don't want dinner. I don't want dinner. And you sit there and like fight 20, 30 minutes. And then all of a sudden they're like, I have to go poop. And you're like, of course you're not hungry. Cause you're like trying to work your system. Yeah. So we have to kind of remember that, like, that's why when you go back to snacking, as long as you're getting like a decent snack and, you know, once in a while, sure, goldfish or, you know, whatever you want. But I think that if, you know, what?
I'm just like once in a while goldfish. Okay.
I don't know. But, I mean, it's funny because like I think that when you train any kid to like, what are those 5 choices that are really healthy, but your kid, you know, like, I don't know. My daughter's always like apples and peanut butter is her go-to, cucumbers. So I'm actually saying the ones that tend to be, and put them at her eye level. Like my daughter's 5 and I gave up on the, like, mom, can I have, I'm like, you know where it is. Go get it. It's one of your 5 choices. Go grab it. You don't have to ask me. If your body is hungry right now and you're picking a good choice, go for it.
Yeah. I love that. So when you, let's talk about school lunches like for a little bit, because I feel like that's what really put your name on the planet and your philosophy for packing lunches, especially even when you're sending your kiddos to preschool. Yeah. Talk to us about how you kind of came up with how you feed your kids.
Well, it's actually, I mean, it came from my son, Kenya. He was in preschool. He was 2 at the time. And this is 12 years ago. And the school, like they would allow the parents to go at that time. And, you know, we'd all stand back and I mean, poor kids. I mean, they were like, can your parent just like looking over you? It's like horrible. But I remembered there were like 1 or 2 people with these sort of bento style lunch boxes. And then the other 10, 12 that were like, you know, brown paper bag and 16 Tupperware containers. And this teacher leaned over to me and she was like, I love it when the parents send the one piece, because then we as teachers don't have to find all the tops and lids. And it's just, it was mayhem.
Yeah.
So I started researching all of these companies and I didn't want my kid to be going to school with plastic. And I started to realize like when kids have a real visual of like fruit, vegetable, protein, carbohydrate, and a sweet treat, something like a little cookie, a little gummy, who knows, whatever you want, then they can open it up. And I remembered my son once when he was 5 years old, came home and everything was gone out of the lunch except the cookie. And I was like, you didn't eat the cookie? Kids get what they need. Like their bodies, one day they may just only eat the cookie. The next day they may eat everything around it. Like, we as adults are so much more like emotional eaters. Mm. I'm sad, I eat. I had a great day, I eat. Kids are like, it just doesn't work that way. It's like that kind of eating is a trained behavior most of the time. So it's important to give them like just a little variety so that having that kind of bento box where they open it and they see all of their choices, it's immediately like, you know, then they're also eating with like texture and color. And so like, if it's all white, it's all, you know, but if there's some color and texture and shape or something, it makes it a little bit more engaging.
And that changed everything for me with the bento idea, because I get overwhelmed. I'm not a particularly strong cook, but I also just would get overwhelmed at the idea, like, my kids aren't really into sandwiches. Yeah. So it was like, what do I do? And then Tracy told me about your philosophy. And this was years ago when we first started this. And the idea as a mom, not only is it helpful, like you're saying, for the kids to see these choices in small amounts in front of them, but like just to go, what do I have today? Mm-hmm. Oh, here's a couple pirate booty, and here's some sliced up apple, and here's two M&Ms got left. You know what I mean? That's and just great. To put it all together, like that took the stress and the overwhelm from like a meal. The idea of this meal. And it was the greatest thing.
It really is.
It really is. And I don't know why it's such a simple thing to do. And it just changed everything for me.
Well, and you bring up some interesting points, because my daughter didn't like sandwiches either, but I've realized now looking back, she was overwhelmed by the size of things. I think to your point, I'm hearing you say is that as adults, we put our eating habits onto our children as if they should be eating like we are. And I know that I for sure do that because I'm German and I'm like, you will eat it and you will like it and I don't care. But like in terms of quantity or texture or color or control, like I'm, or being hungry at the same time, you're so right. Like their little bodies are so different than ours, to just consider that maybe they don't want dinner when you're serving it. Now, you can't just be making dinner at 9 o'clock, obviously. Yeah. But that's where the lunch thing comes in, because, you know, where we're fine with a big giant bowl of salad or a huge honkin' sandwich, it just may not resonate with children in the same way.
Yeah. And then to your point, like, I mean, 2 out of 3 of my kids are like fine with sandwiches, but don't love them. But if I make them a sushi sandwich, same ingredients, same amount, I roll that bread out, put the filling, roll it up, cut it into like sushi rolls, all of a sudden it's like engaging, fun. It's a small bite. And there's like, to your point, like there's nothing to matter with, I call them snack lunches. Because, you know, for younger kids, like the last thing they want to do is chew. They're just, they want to talk at lunch. Oh, they want to be with their friends. You know what I mean? Chewing is a waste of their time. So you got to get as much nutrition in every bite as possible. You know, I mean, a snack lunch is like, you know, like avocado, like little bits, easy, fast and done, you know, good fat, fiber, get it
how
in.
Do you put avocado, how do you put avocado in a lunch though? It's just going to turn brown.
No, so you cut it in half and then you just rub some lemon on it, and the lemon will keep it bright green.
But then they have to eat it out of the...
See, I love your face. You're like, really? I'm not buying... My daughter has an avocado 2-3 days a week like this. So I'll either cut it cross-section and a little lemon and salt and either pack it with a spoon, or she'll just like squeeze it into her mouth. She'll just use a spoon.
Well, my kids love avocado too, but the reason I mean, if I cut them an apple and it's slightly brown by the time they get to their lunchtime, they won't eat it. So it's not, because we do in the house feed them avocado, like they just eat it with a spoon. Yeah. The lemon's a great idea. But I'm just like, how do you pack it?
Yeah. Or orange. So you can do a little bit of fresh orange juice on apples or pears, and it prevents them. It's the acid that prevents them from turning brown.
Interesting. Oh. Okay.
Tip. I
Delicious
love that.
Tip right there.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I also love that you always, like, you're not afraid of giving treats, you know? And I think, again, America's so extreme in everything, right? We're like, you have to be like, no sugar mom, or vegan mom, or only fresh food, organic mom. Like, you can't just be fucking chill mom that's like trying to do her best and just cook good food when you can. And you know, I think someone who skews on the natural side of life anyway, you know, I kind of watched the sugar, but you really gave me freedom to just be like, all right, girl, I'm going to send you some M&Ms. And everybody's just happier when that happens.
Yeah. That's why I love what you said, like the two M&Ms. I'm like all about two M&Ms or five M&Ms. But I mean, even for me, like I've always allowed my kids and not even allowed, like encourage them. I'm like, I love going for a scoop of ice cream. I love baking brownies or cookies. I think there is, you have to have the balance. I mean, to try to attempt to be like 80% healthy and then have those 20% where it's like special treats. These are special moments. You don't want to be the kid that's like, you know, not allowed to have cake or something like that. I think, you know, I mean, the only food that I've ever like said to my kids, like I'd rather them not eat are food dyes. And I made the mistake of telling my son when he was like 2.5 and I remembered him going to a birthday party and getting up to the front of the line. And it was this big old Elmo cake with, you know, every color, yellow, green, blue, vibrant. And he was like, there's food dye in that. That's bad for my body. And the mother was like, okay, freaky kid. But he's like, to this day, never wanted, he will not eat any food coloring. My middle daughter, she's like, Skittle time, Skittle. She's the opposite. She's like, but meaning I gave them the information. I let them know and she wants it sometimes. So I'm like, all right, it's not going to be the end of the world. You just have to, you know, balance it out.
So how bad are food dyes?
It's, I mean, look, to me, I feel like it's pretty much poison.
Really?
I mean, I mean, like red dye number 5, I mean, like there's no nutritional value. It's, you know, you're like, it's coloring food. It's often, if you look at it, it's touted towards children. Mm-hmm. Like most, you know, it's not, is that you don't find it in a ton of adult products or adult, you know, lead foods. So, I mean, that's like in balance. Sure, but I think there are like so many great options where you don't need the food coloring.
Because it's chemicals or, chemicals. It seems innocuous,
and it really can, some people can have terrible sensitivities. It's definitely an allergy also. So, you know, you might think like you have an allergy to a specific food, but it might be the food coloring in it.
Oh, interesting.
So that green martini I had last night for St. Patrick's Day.
You're going to die now.
I might die. If the vodka didn't kill me, it was the green.
Exactly. Which one? Maybe in that case, the vodka. Like, you know, it balances it all out. You know, it's like a cleaning agent.
It killed it. Yeah.
Exactly. It's totally fine.
Interesting. Yeah, mm-hmm. I have so many friends whose kids struggle with not eating, right? Like they just don't want to eat. They're not interested in eating. My kids are crazy eaters. Like I have to stop them from eating. It's actually not good. Like, it varies so much, especially Tracy and I were talking earlier, like a lot of kids, who have ADHD or on medications don't even have an appetite, which is why I think, you know, what you're talking about with like the small bites of things that are like more entertaining, like the sushi roll, for example, are such a good solution for kiddos with those kinds of issues. Have you worked with kids like that?
I have a lot of experience in that. So what I would say, especially for ADD, ADHD, kids that are on appetite suppressants, you definitely want the food coloring out of them. That is because you're talking again, more sensitive, composition. So, and in those cases, you want to get a packed breakfast because before they've taken their medicine, or simultaneously before it kicks in, you nutrient dense. Think about all those foods that are those avocados, those, you know, bright natural foods, protein, tons of protein, like as much as you can get in, like protein pancakes with chia seeds or hemp seeds or smoothies. I mean, that's really part of the reason I wrote the smoothie project, was, you know, being able to get in those fats and fiber, tons of fruits and vegetables, because those ADHD kids are so much more like, you know, I go back to the pancakes and the waffles, like those foods are really challenging for those kids. The wheat, the dairy, the cheese, you know, you want to be giving them things that are going to like electrify their brains and bodies in positive ways instead of making them want to go to sleep. So lots of big breakfast, lots of big dinner, because generally when the medications are in their system, and it depends the time release of the medication they're taking, but you want to try when they're not really eating between like 9 and 2 or 3, you got to pack it back up with a snack and dinner and get as many calories in there as possible.
Let's talk about smoothies, because that's a new thing in our house. I'm not a big fan of fruits or vegetables. So
I feel you, by the way.
So Tracy and I were actually taking this class. And can I tell the story about the blueberries?
Yeah.
There was somebody doing kind of like it was not a report, but she was giving us this information about blueberries. And I literally was rolling my eyes like... I mean, everyone knows the fucking blueberry is good for you. Okay. But then I started to like digest the information and I was like, I'm going to get some frozen blueberries, wild blueberries next time I'm at Sprouts. And I'm going to buy some like vegan protein powder and I'm going to get a little vanilla almond milk. And I've been having, and my son, we've been having smoothies every morning, but I have zero like understanding of if the smoothie I'm making is the right way. Can you use frozen fruit? Is a powder, protein powder good? Like, tell us all about like the best way to make smoothies that your kids will love and that someone like me would actually drink.
It's comprehensive. There's so much, because like what you need as a woman versus what your child needs may like also differ. Like, so for women, collagen powder, 100% low in calorie, pure protein, great for hair, skin, nails, and joints. But it's also great for kids. And I always get that question. Can I put collagen powder in my kid's smoothie? And absolutely, not a problem. Okay. But they're like in the Smoothie Project cookbook, there are 100 recipes. And to your point, there's like, do you like tropical fruits? Do you like chocolate, vanilla, berries? Like there's so many different, like, I mean, I my favorite two smoothies are a chocolate and berry. And then I like a green smoothie, but like, I like it to taste more like vanilla than to taste green. I'm like a 5-year-old with my smoothies. So okay. I feel you on this. But yeah, make sure, like my daughters, their favorite smoothie that I make is chocolate peanut butter, but there's no sugar in it. Just banana, cocoa powder, peanut butter, tons of frozen cauliflower. Frozen cauliflower, you do not taste it.
That's it's all fiber. She told me this, because I've been putting spinach in, because you said you don't taste it, and I'm into it.
See, guys, I learned everything from you.
Well, tell me about the cauliflower. Really?
Because many kids love cauliflower? Like my daughters are like, put the cauliflower in. You don't taste it.
But it's like
and it
fiber.
Makes it creamy. It's fiber. It has less. It is as much.
You see my
cauliflower.
Like,
yeah, it has more. More protein cup for cup than most vegetables. So it's like such a win-win. And the best part is like, especially for kids that don't like their color, you know, they're like, I don't want a green smoothie. Like my daughters love this one that I make with frozen mango and banana and cauliflower. And it's like really bright yellow and it tastes sweet. So my whole point is like, if you can get a fruit, a vegetable and a protein in your kid by 9 o'clock, you have won the mom award. It is like, because you know what I mean? Like how many kids are having vegetables for breakfast? So then at least in your mind, you can be like, okay, wait a minute. I can chill out the rest of the day. A lot of parents are like, dinner, you haven't had a vegetable all day long. If you give it a breakfast, you're like, and they love it. And smoothies, again, for smaller kids, like they'll suck a smoothie down in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But like chewing food is just like time. It's like, my daughter who's 5 has had a smoothie every day of her, like since she was 10 months old, and she will 10 ounces.
I mean, she became famous for her ability to suck down a smoothie.
So and let me tell you something, if it is not on the table by 8 o'clock, she is like, where is my smoothie?
Yeah.
She's become like smoothie devil.
So what kind of, so you said protein before 9 o'clock. So what kind of protein then? Protein powder?
Yeah, cauliflower.
It's what you like. Like, I mean, like I said, everyone's different. Like my son he loves smoothies. He does not like protein powder. So I tend to say like find a clean one, something that doesn't have like a lot of like fake sugar or like sweeteners, like a stevia. So there's tons of brands out there. I always suggest buy the packets at Whole Foods, or because then you get to try one and you didn't commit to like $20, $25, $30 for a big protein powder. Hemp seeds, you don't taste. Chia seeds, pure protein, omega-3 fatty acids, again, collagen. I mean, there's so many ways that you can get protein that you know, a peanut butter, almond butter, sun butter, anything, just a scoop. And I think, like, I love what you were talking about earlier, just like, I like blueberries and I got the protein powder, and like, start playing, because you're with a smoothie, whatever's the dominant flavor. So if it's like chocolate, like cocoa powder, that's going to be the dominant flavor. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of like sneak in, and I don't mean like, we don't want to sneak with kids, but like, you know, throw in some spinach or some cauliflower or whatever it is, and you're still going to have that profound chocolate or peanut butter flavor.
Okay, so that's interesting what you just said, that you don't want to sneak with kids.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, like, their whole philosophy is like, sneak in the veggies. So tell us your thought process on that.
I mean, I'm always scared that we're going to have like a ton of like 18-year-olds that never knew they'd been eating broccoli that was like snuck into their brownies all their life. And like, you lied to me. I've been eating broccoli for 18 years. I thought you
baked me a treat.
Exactly. I thought those were gooey brownies.
Yeah.
I'm just much more like into the high five with my kids. Like, oh my God, look at you. You just like had a Brussels sprout. Like, you know, it took 20 tries to get you here, but like, you did it. Like, I think it's more exciting when it's a win instead of like, I got it in the back door. I mean, you know, once in a while, sure, throw it in the smoothie. You didn't sneak it. Right in there. But, you know, I think that we want to empower kids, get them cooking, get them picking fruits and vegetables, take them to the grocery and say, you can pick out any fruit or vegetable today. And we're going to like learn about it, taste it. Like, what could we make with this? Like, kids just want to hang out with their parents. They just want to, they just want to hang with you.
No, thanks.
So we want to engage them. We want to like bring them into the fold instead of like having these like, you know, fights and wars over food.
I do think if you can level with your kids and just actually be honest, eventually they'll respect it. Maybe not right away.
It takes a lot. I mean, I've got three kids that eat totally different ages, and it changes too. Like, I think you can accept, like, you know, a lot of parents that are like, I've made you an omelet every day for 10 years and you don't like it now. You know, it's so upsetting. Like, switch it up. Don't also get too glued to the same one food, because, you know, then it becomes also monotonous.
Yeah, no, you're right. My daughter's just suddenly decided that she won't eat any sort of ground meat.
Oh, yeah. And,
we are a big meat eating family. It's put a wrench in a lot of our recipes, because we're like really into like meaty soups and it's, we're having to get super creative. But my whole point is, I was like, you had a Wendy's chili like 2 weeks ago.
you
know what I mean? Funny.
Yeah. And guess what?
Yeah.
I know.
She's like, well, now I don't like it. So yeah.
I know, but I get it. I mean, and these are, it, you know, it ebbs and flows, and to your whatever, just go, okay. Because what's the other, like, wait, like the fight? No.
Well, that's why those bowls are so great. I mean, we're really into that in our family too. We just like, we'll make rice and beans, have avocado, tomatoes, olives, and then we'll put like a taco meat turkey on it, or, you know, just from a roasted chicken, and then like some Tessame, you know, Whole30 friendly avocado ranch dressing. And the kids won't have that on it, but at least we're getting what we want. And bowls are such a good idea.
By the way, I'm like drooling even thinking of that.
I know,
that
it is so yummy.
But that meal is like protein and fiber. And like, that's the, I think for parents, if you can try to think about like with that you're not just serving an all carb dinner or all protein dinner. Like, there's some sort of like variety. And my other tip is like for parents that like, frozen vegetables should be your friend. Like, my son loves broccoli. So just like three florets for little kids, you know, like, you don't have to like cut up a whole thing of broccoli and then they don't eat it and you're mad. So if you just like $1.99 organic broccoli, Trader Joe's, a few florets, defrost, give them like Bragg's, like it's amino acids and it comes in a pump or in a squirt bottle, sesame seeds, even salt, like lemon, salad dressing, hummus, but let them jazz it up.
And we have an air fryer, so that's been like our best friend for vegetables lately.
You do are love you an in? Air fryer.
We are all, I mean, we are.
I'm all air fryer all day. Yeah. I mean,
speaking of cauliflower, like, ooh, it's so good with a little Parmesan on top.
Next level, everything. Yeah. Stick it's a whole loud, chicken in, shut it. Yeah, true.
So, yeah, you guys enough. Do, though. I've yet to do a whole chicken in the air fryer.
Oh, we do a whole chicken. Uh-huh, all the time.
Once a week. Oh, yeah.
We do it with like Greek seasoning and we kind of make like shawarma seasoning and put a whole, you know, get it all under the stuff and then put it in there.
I thought you said you weren't a good, like, you
I've
don't
been telling her my husband. Forever. I know.
I make a smoothie. It took me, I'm 43. It took me 43 years to make a smoothie.
She's my real husband. Proud of it too. I mean, every day. Did you see my smoothie?
It.
Did you see
no,
my,
she hates it. She
well, she got
like
some
it.
Nasty vegan protein powder and I'm like,
I like it.
Yeah, but it's amazing.
Oh my
God. Whatever we all like. Whatever
I
we all
love
like.
It. Thank you so much. First of all, just thank you from one mom to another for guiding me through new parenthood. I mean, just your gifts are all over my house. And when I was talking to my husband about you last night, I was like, Jonathan, like this is why she has her box and this is why she eats like this. And he's like, and I'm like, look at her Instagram, like look at all the stuff I've made. He's like, oh my gosh, it's so true. So thank you for all the gifts you give moms, and you really do have a way of doing it in this over the top world of social media. Like I've never felt bad watching any of your videos. Like you keep it on the level and you just don't make moms feel bad about themselves. And that's a gift these days. Oh,
thank you. We got to all be here together.
I hear you. So
love and trust.
And tell us everywhere that people can find you. Tell us all about One Potato. Go.
All right. So yeah, at Wealicious and at One Potato Box. And yeah, I said what One Potato was earlier, but you know, One Potato, we're shipping nationwide, two or three dinners, takes 12 to 30 minutes start to finish, ready to blend frozen smoothie packs in 7 flavors, homemade edible cookie dough and everything in between.
That's so great.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right. Well, we will list all that in the show notes and for sure share it with you. And I will be ordering some One Potato boxes because that sounds amazing.
It's so fun and easy.
Oh, I love it. Okay. So are you ready to play our guest bomb game with us? Great.
Let's do
so
this.
It's all going to take place in a minute. And we're going to just kind of ask you rando questions. And if it's something you can't think of right away, just say pass. We're going to see how many questions we can get out to you in that 1 minute's time. And here we go.
Here we go. You ready?
I'm excited.
Start the old timer. All right, Tracy, ready?
Okay.
Hit it.
Where do you live?
Los Angeles, California.
Have you ever been in jail?
No.
Favorite Schitt's Creek character?
Oh, I've only watched one episode.
That's okay.
That's okay. Madonna or Gaga?
Madonna.
Fries or ice cream?
Gelato. Mm.
Do you have a celebrity crush?
Hold on. I know it. I know I'm going to leave here and be like, oh God, how did I not say that?
You can
really.
Pass. That's okay.
Yeah, pass.
Okay. Epidural or natural?
Home birth.
Nice.
Do you have a favorite child?
Just jokes.
We're just joking.
We're just joking.
One of my kids would say yes.
Do you snore?
No.
Tampons or the cup?
Pass.
Yes, cats.
What's your astrological sign?
Taurus.
Favorite fitness activity?
Hiking.
Least favorite children's TV show?
These days, that big red dog. What's his name?
Clifford.
Okay,
he's still around.
For my daughter, it is.
Okay, and last question. Your vagina is the name of the last TV show you watched.
Go.
Emily in Paris.
Oh. Perfect. That delightful. Is delightful.
Bonjour.
Oui, oui.
I watched all 10 episodes in one night.
Sure, as one does.
My vagina was all into it.
I love it.
Paris.
Oh.
Not gay Paris, just Paris. straight Paris.
Catherine, thank you so much. This has been delightful. Thanks for all you do. And if you don't hear it very often, we just want to remind you that you are an awesome mom and you are doing a great job.
You guys are incredible. Thank you.
Thank you. I think the major solution here is that we just make smoothies for every meal. Can we just do that?
Smoothies for every meal. Would you ever poop again? Or solid?
Solid?
If you just had smoothies?
Probably not.
Leave it to me to ruin every episode. So a bit of poop talk.
I mean, we couldn't have one without it.
No.
Oh, I love her. I'm actually kind of inspired to make dinner again.
Oh, so I'm not, nice. But good job. Yeah, no, well. I definitely am. And I actually appreciated the compliments when I speak with confidence of the things I do know how to make. You're right. I need to.
You are. You're a good cook.
I'm not. I have some things I know how to make. I will admit that.
And you could have more because you're good at cooking.
Oh, thanks. I have a nice flavor palette.
See?
Is that a thing?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Buy tickets to Mother's Day Eve, yes. Everybody. Grab your bubble besties and make a night of it. You deserve it. And we cannot wait to get back on stage.
I know. I just have this vision of like every mom, like the grid goes down because every mom's like, nope, off duty for the rest of the night. And like the country just goes quiet. Except for all the moms that are just partying on screen. Can we do that? Can we just gather everyone together?
That's what the goal is.
I want that to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen. May 8th, you guys. You can get all the info if you follow us on Instagram at Band of Mothers Official. We also will have a Facebook event for you to follow on the Facebook.
So you can invite all your friends.
That's right. And so that is happening. And if you enjoy this podcast, and I know this is one of our favorite episodes today, make sure that you share it. Please leave a review. Help us exist in this world, in this crazy world. It's things like that that actually help us continue to do what we do.
For real.
For real.
We'll see you next week, guys. Well, we'll talk at you next week. We love you.